Men need to face their trauma, find healing, confess it one to another, allow themselves to be held accountable, and they will be pleasantly surprised at how their life will be different in such a positive, positive way.
Thanks for joining us this week on Straight Talk on Life Issues. I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute, and want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. It's a pleasure to be with you. In honor of Father's Day, we're going to be talking about the importance of counseling for men after losing a child to abortion.
Research shows men have the greatest influence on a woman's decision when faced with an unexpected pregnancy.
And women are most likely to discuss their decision about abortion with the father of the baby. Most men are not aware just how much influence they truly have in that decision-making process.
And when an abortion happens, men's grief can be ignored and overlooked by society. However, they're not immune to the effects of their partner's abortion.
The National Survey on Family Growth reports that 71% of men said that they have experienced adverse effects after abortion loss.
Yes, Victor, and the majority of men experience a negative impact from their abortion experiences, including depression, anxiety, and particularly anger.
Today, we'll be talking more about the importance of counseling for men who have experienced abortion. Joining us are James Wilbur, husband and father of five from the Central Coast of California. He discovered Save One when his wife began working in a local pregnancy center, and he's never been the same since. We're also joined by Kirk Riggs. He's married to Gina and has three adult children, one deceased child, and eight grandchildren. He's also the Fatherhood Program Coordinator for Hill Country Pregnancy Care Center of Bourne since March of 2023.
James and Kirk, welcome to this special Father's Day program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
What I'd like both of you to do is briefly tell us your stories. James, let's start with you.
Well, it's a testimony I wouldn't have chosen for myself, being involved in an abortion. I was in my late 20s, and it was 1996, and I was involved with a girlfriend who, unbeknownst to me, also was dating someone else. I was on a business trip to Japan for a week, and when I came back, things seemed different. A few weeks later, she called me and told me she was pregnant. And I was like, okay, well, just wanted to do the right thing. I was raised in the Methodist faith denomination. And I figured, well, seems like the right thing to do. I'll say, well, let's just get married. So she didn't like that idea. and then a week later, she gave me a call and said that it wasn't my baby. While I was on travel in Japan, she had slept with a coworker and it was his, and that she wanted an abortion. And at that point, it really played on my emotions. I was like, well, yeah, I think that I was angry. You know, obviously, I thought that was probably the best idea, was for her to get an abortion. So it was a tough kind of what we'd call a triangle, I guess. She wanted me to be present. She was scared. She's probably about 8 to 10 weeks pregnant at the time, and she wanted me to be there. And so I agreed. The night before the abortion, I came over and he showed up at her doorstep pleading for the baby's life. And he got me aside and he was tears in his eyes. He's like, look, I'm a Catholic and I don't believe in abortion. And this is my baby. And it really dawned on me there that the anger completely dissipated, the anger that I had for this man. He was pleading for this child's life. What could I say at that point? I was like, you know what? This guy's right. And so we went back, both of us, to her and said, we want to think of another alternative and let's reconsider. And she got so angry in that moment. And she was like, nope, I'm doing this. And if you guys aren't part of it, then I'll, you know, she just got really super angry. And he left crying. That's the last image I saw of him, was just him going away into the darkness crying. And we were left, just her and I. And I was really very confused at that time, I was didn't have really a faith in God at that point. I was really backslidden. So in her manipulative way, she convinced me to go with her to get the abortion. And I eventually just conceded and went with her. And it was pretty traumatic. I was got a front row seat, so to speak, to the abortion. And I'll never forget the high-pitched whine of the vacuum and pretty graphic what I saw. It's a clear surgical tube and you can see everything that's going through it. So one thing I did notice was when the suction started, tear came from her eye. And so I knew at that moment that she was very deeply saddened and heartbroken about what was happening. And I just kind of experienced that in shock, really, just seeing the blood and guts going through the surgical tube. So the procedure ended, and I was kind of in a daze. I walked over to the trash receptacle where the remains were, and the Planned Parenthood nurse quickly whisked me away. I heard her gasp at just the fact that I was looking at into the trash can. And so she quickly whisked me away and said, come on, here we go. Let's go out here. And it was all kind of a blur. I drove her home, and that was it. I was left pretty much in shock from that. And I figured, well, that's it for me. I've gone beyond the reach of God's grace at that point. I got really involved in drinking alcohol to kind of numb the pain from that experience.
Thank you for that account. Kirk, let's briefly hear your story.
I was saved at a pretty early age, small town revival, but I did not seek discipleship or fellowship in the church and followed my own path. And by the time I was in my late teens, I was just living life, whatever felt good and whatever seemed fun. And I was 20 years old when I met this young lady. We moved in together. The relationship was pretty rocky, and we were on one of our out periods, and she came knocking on my door, and she said, well, I just came to tell you that I'm pregnant, and what I need from you is half the money for the cost of the abortion and a ride to the clinic. And I was caught so flat-footed because it was literally that quick. There was no small talk from the time that she arrived, and I was like, well, is there not another option? I mean, I can marry you. And she said, you're in no shape to be a father. And she was referring to my alcohol and drug intake. And I'm a guy who's always tried to diffuse tense situations with humor. And I'll never forget my response to her. I said, I've got three brothers. You know, my dad had four boys. He was drunk every day. None of us died. None of us got hurt. How hard can this be? You know, I'll marry you and we'll raise this child. She said, no, my mind's made up. I've done this before. This will solve the problem. And I need half the money and a ride. If you don't want to do that, just tell me now and I'll leave. I don't know if I said I would do it, maybe to buy more time, but the appointment came up pretty quickly. Drove her down to the local Planned Parenthood in Tyler, Texas. And if you've never been to Tyler, Texas, if there's a Bible Belt in the South, Tyler's somewhere near the buckle. It's a very conservative community. And I remember there were people walking on the sidewalks carrying signs. They were not being disruptive or abusive, just quietly walking with signs saying that, you know, things like choose life, abortion wounds women. And I already didn't want to be participating in this. So now I've got a really just pit in my stomach. And she walked in. I don't know how long I was there in my vehicle. She walked out. And it was done. And I was in a pretty bad spot at this point because I couldn't numb away the memory. I couldn't consume enough drugs and alcohol to make the memory go away. And this continued for a pretty good while. And at the age of 25 is when I surrendered my life to Christ. And he healed me of that addiction that completely went away. I got plugged into a local church, found a group of more seasoned men to fellowship with because they'd gotten married and stayed married. They were in the Word. They had a good balance in life. And these were the guys that I wanted to glean from because I knew that's eventually where I wanted to go.
James and Kirk, did you ever see the importance of finding post-abortive counseling?
Yes.
What was that like for you?
Well, that took a long time. Going back to where we left off before, getting involved in a church, My life was so different. My mind is clear. I'm learning. I'm growing in my faith in the Lord. And I went into church services on a clear, beautiful day, not knowing what was about to happen. And turned out that there is a day on the calendar called Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I started putting together what was being talked about from the pulpit. And I felt like about 2,000 sets of eyeballs had turned around and were all looking at me. And I was trying to slump down in my chair. The enemy told me, "You can't talk about this. They will not understand. This is the big one. Everybody's in recovery. Everybody gets that polite golf clap, for being sober. That's accepted, but this is not accepted." And so while I desperately wanted to raise my hand and say, "What do I do about this?" I never found what I thought was a safe place to do it. And finally, this would have been in 2011, 2012. I've been married for 15, 20 years at this point. And I set my wife down and I said, "I have to tell you something." And it was once I surrendered the secret, once I told her what had happened, it was then that I realized that I needed to seek some help. And then subsequently after that, I realized, okay, you're not the only one. You have a story to tell. It's not a pleasant story, but for the next guy who's sitting there desperate, he needs to hear that there is help, there is hope, and you can be healed from this trauma.
James, how about you?
Yeah, amen to that. Well, like Kirk said, it took a lot of time. I became a believer. I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I confessed that sin, and I knew I was forgiven of it. And before I married Becky, I had told her that I had been involved in an abortion, and so she knew that. She was probably the only one that knew, other than the girlfriend I had back in the 1996. But like Kirk was saying, it's not like guys come out and say, we talk about, football, baseball, sports, and stuff like that. We don't go say, "Hey, you ever been involved in an abortion?" It just doesn't happen in the day-to-day communication with guys. So it didn't occur to me that I even needed post-abortive care, counseling, or anything like that until we were on a road trip vacation 3 years ago, and we were heading up Highway 101. And as we passed through Larkspur up above San Francisco, we passed right by this little shopping center where the Planned Parenthood Center was. And it all came crashing back to me then. It was just like I was reliving everything of the sights, the sounds, the smells, everything. And I was just, I remember Becky looking over kind of saying, "What's wrong?" And I couldn't talk about it at the moment. I became I was a real jerk to the kids in the back that were complaining about the long road trip, as kids do, "Are we there yet?" type of thing. And I was being really angry and short with them. And Becky was like, "What's going on with you?" And I just couldn't talk about it at that moment. And it wasn't until 2 weeks later that I confided with Becky, and I told her, we passed right by the center, the Planned Parenthood Center that the abortion occurred at, and I was going through everything. And it still chokes me up to this day what that was all about. My wife being the way she is, she works at Lifeline Pregnancy Center, and she's like, "Well, I know exactly what you need. You need to speak with Terry, with a saved one, and get with him." And I was just so remarkably surprised at how upbeat she was. She knew exactly what I needed and hooked me up with Terry and went through Saved One, and that was awesome. It was immediately having a brother I could relate to and talk about these things that I just buried for years. And it just kind of blows me away, the grace of God and the mercy of God, how he can turn something. You've heard that phrase where the Lord Jesus reaches us to the guttermost and he saves us to the uttermost. This was my guttermost moment, This is one of the things that I had buried and didn't want to ever talk to about anybody. But in talking with Terry, it was great because God has mercy and grace and love and forgiveness for everything we've been through. And it was just really encouraging. I just felt like I had immediately had a, he was closer than a brother. I can call Terry to this day. Anything going on, I've got somebody on speed dial I can call no matter what I'm going through. So it's been a remarkable being on the other side of it. What is it, like 29 years later?
How did the counseling help you?
Well, just to be able to receive forgiveness, true grace, true forgiveness, God's riches at Christ's expense, God's grace, God's mercy, truly receiving that. It went from being a mental thing, like, "Yeah, I've been forgiven of my sins," to really receiving it in my heart and kind of being able to take possession of it in my soul. And that really, it really changed everything about how I perceived that whole bad experience that I went through. It's really helped me to look back with just a different perspective on it. Instead of feeling shame, I've been released of the shame from it. Sometimes we go through in our journey in life, we kind of go through periods where we're kind of go through a dead end, and we have to turn around and we wonder why did I go through that? You know, why did that have to happen? Like I said, I wouldn't have chosen this as my testimony. In those dead ends, where we think is a dead end, God makes a way where there is no way. And then he opens up that dead end to an avenue for to receive his grace, mercy, and forgiveness and love. And then he's able to connect me with brothers that have gone through the similar situation. And then that sets me up to have my own ministry and where I can encourage other brothers that have been through that. So it's just really wonderful how God works in that way.
Did you find that your healing impacted your family at all?
Yeah, quite a bit. I'd really realized that a lot of my anger issues and frustration and being short with the kids and being short with my wife and a lot of those things faded away because I was finally set free from a lot of those frustrations and shame. I'd been set free from the bondage of shame of that experience.
Yeah.
And I have more compassion for not only my family, but just others. Because you don't know what people are going through, kind of in their own little isolation cells that we set up ourselves. So it helped me to have more compassion for others.
I counsel fathers and I use the Save One program, probably that you went through. And it's good to see a different man come out of the counseling at the end, just totally almost radiant. Yeah, it's an awesome thing to witness. Kurt, how did counseling impact you?
Well, I think the question of how did it impact me and how did it impact my family, I'd really like to share on the family part because when we talk about being healed, we have to be specific. I was being healed from post-abortion trauma. It took me a long time to even know what it was. I just knew that, and my wife unfortunately knew because she was the brunt of the outbursts. 9 times out of 10, I was a jovial, helpful, supportive, loving man with the entire family. And in these random sporadic moments, I would have these outbursts of anger. The only thing they accomplished were frightening the people that were around me. And while they would be happening, even in my own mind, I would be telling myself, just stop, just stop. You're acting like a fool. But I couldn't. And then, you know, the next day I'd be apologetic and I'm sorry, and you know, that won't happen again. And it was only after that I confessed the abortion and got that secret out into the light, I realized, I don't know if it was months or years later, I was like, oh wow, those outbursts of anger don't come around anymore. And that was when I really started digging into post-abortion recovery. I realized there's a direct connection here. And so I got a hold of Guy Condra's book, Fatherhood Aborted. I sat down with my mentor and told him, hey, this is very important. I need to share this with you. And he said, okay, well, let's go to the word. He said, look, right here in James chapter 5, the half brother of Jesus, he tells us plainly, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. This is what has happened in your life. Every other time it talks about confession in the scriptures, it's vertical between you and God. And that's the one time it's talking about with your peers, your fellow Christians, confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. I started connecting the dots, and that was when I really dove in to anything I could get my hands on, book, a study guide, whatever it was that would continue me down this path. And then it was years later that I was called into ministry at our local pregnancy resource center. And they asked me if I had an abortion in my past. And I said, yes, I have. And they said, have you gone through any kind of post-abortion healing? And I said, well, yes, but if you're talking about a specific program, you know, let me know what you're talking about. So since coming on, starting as a volunteer and subsequently on staff with the pregnancy center, I've gone through Fatherhood Aborted, Rachel's Vineyard, two or three other book studies, and then I'm just constantly on the lookout for new and fresh ideas because I'm convinced that the trauma that I had is so common, just like James was saying, how he was short with his family and short with his children. I believe that any man that has trauma that hasn't been dealt with is not going to be able to live up to his full potential in Christ. And we don't have the market cornered on trauma with abortion. It could be a myriad of things, but men need to face their trauma, find healing, confess it one to another, allow themselves to be held accountable, and they will be pleasantly surprised at how their life will be different in such a positive way.
Amen.
And anger is the symptom that we see most prevalently and consistently in men who have lost a child to abortion. Why do you guys think it's important for a man to speak up when he's faced with an unexpected pregnancy? James?
Well, I mean, the alternative is to isolate and to become a prison of your own making, painting yourself into a corner and you become unreachable. And it's a horrible isolation. There's just so much freedom and liberty and love and grace, forgiveness in and through it if you just reach out to somebody. It's a no-brainer. Now that I'm saw what I went through for decades, I was like, man, why didn't I figure this out sooner? I'm kind of a slow learner. I didn't really understand the need for it. I didn't know I had a need for it. So I didn't seek it until, until that moment where I was in that kind of post-traumatic stress scenario where I was like in it again. I still didn't really see it. It took my wife to see it and say, hey, this is what you need. So a lot of times us guys just need encouragement from our spouses to say, hey, take a look at this. Have you considered this? I can be pretty stubborn and hard-headed, so I'm thankful that I have a wife that encourages me to not be that way.
Kirk, how about you?
Well, my experience talking with men that come into the center, first of all, I try to help them understand that he does have a point of view. And if he will take the phrase, I'll support whatever she decides, out of his vernacular and turn that around and walk into that room and take her by the hand and say, I'm here for the long haul. It may be marriage, it may be co-parenting. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but I am here for you and this baby. Take whatever she decides and throw it in the trash. Because the truth is, she's sitting in the other room thinking, what does he want me to do? Will he support me? So if he will take the lead and be proactive and tell her, I'm in this for the long haul. You need me right now. We've created this child together. We'll do this together. Don't know what it's going to look like, but I'll be a father to this child. It will help her to make a more informed decision on life.
Yeah, and it's very much a biblical principle as well as backed up by research because 70, 80% of the fathers have a huge impact on the abortion decision of the woman, regardless of the relationship. So, yeah,
Correct.
they need to speak out. If you're a man listening to this program and you don't know where to go for help, you can go to our website and we will connect you with a free peer-to-peer counselor where wherever you live, just visit meninabortion.net and right on that homepage, you will have an opportunity to request that help. You can even stay anonymous if you want to by just giving us an email address in the city in which you reside. Help is available. And as James and Kirk has said, you are not alone. James and Kirk, thank you so much for joining us on this program and sharing what's on your heart on a very important issue.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
You know, I always think it's interesting to be able to listen to men who have both experienced abortion, but then also gone through the healing place. They are encyclopedia of information for men who may be faced with an unexpected pregnancy or are struggling after an abortion.
And you know, Brad, I really appreciated James' unique perspective, having participated in abortion, albeit of someone else's child, having seen that and the trauma that even he experienced. It really shows the wake that abortion leaves behind it.
And we want everybody to know if you are struggling after an abortion, whether you're a mother or father of a baby lost to abortion, reach out to us at lifeissues.org and we will get you free peer-to-peer counseling wherever you are.
That's right. Visit our website, lifeissues.org, for free resources, counseling, and information following an abortion, you can share these resources with your friends, your family member, and your church community as together we work to create a culture of life. Again, that's available at lifeissues.org. Be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.